Rebound the hustling Hauk. Out to Clayton. Martin free to fire the three.
And Maryland still can't rebound the ball. They're in trouble.
That's a shot by Rice. Rebound inside. It is collected by Reese and puts it up and in, but they're down by 15 rebounds. In on Henlogden. Slips it in. Nestled it through. He's got 16. Kicks it back out. Shot clock at 6. Richard got the screen. Underneath. Condon lost it off his foot. On the floor. Throws it up. Henlogden trying to put it up. And it went down. It went down. It'll count.
Some highlights last night. Kevin Harlan, who joined the show yesterday on the call, WTBS is where you could find that. And Maryland, as you heard in the sports update, they got behind early, but fought back in the first half, trailed by 2. But the key to the game, and you heard it in one of the highlights, I think Dan Bonner said, Terps, where have you heard this before? They couldn't rebound, and they got dominated on the boards. Quite frankly, their guards stunk last night.
Yeah.
They looked a bit distracted at times. I wonder why. And Florida ran away in the second half, winning 87-71. Season is over. And now Kevin Willard, who had an interesting post-game press conference, we await to see when this Villanova thing is announced.
Yeah, we'll play some of that sound in the next segment. He was a clown. It's a shame that they went out with their worst performance of the season. And we debated a lot on this show how much this entire cluster bleep going on around them would impact them, because they are young people, they're human beings, and as much as we can talk about, well, Queen's going a top 5 pick, and you know, Juju's doesn't have any eligibility left, so it doesn't matter to him, and some of these guys are going to go to Villanova, and everybody's a mercenary, and everybody moves around, right, Boomer or Sice, and you know, everybody's just going to get their money, so none of this matters. It's the biggest moment of their lives. This was the biggest moment of all their lives. And the most important adult in the room was a mental midget whose paycheck and mind was already in Villanova. And you can't tell me that a guy who's got 9 fingers and 9 toes out the door waiting to get this behind him, who looked like a guy who couldn't wait to put this behind him, who hid behind a phone call after the game to get off the podium, and who blew off Johnny Holiday and Chris Nockey and everybody else on the network, and who frankly has acted like a punk. You can't tell me that he was the right man to inspire these young men before the biggest basketball moment of their lives. That bench looked flat and deflated all game, players and coaches alike. They did not come out with energy. They did not come out with verve. And all of their recent worst trends, guards not fighting for rebounds, poor defensive tenacity, for lack of a better word, getting destroyed on the offensive boards, weird substitution patterns, it all showed up. Jacoby Gillespie, you can't tell me he was all there mentally. You just
missed
can't.
A couple layups.
He ended up being the all-time freshman leading scorer.
He was good last night.
And rebounder,
yes,
in his one-and-done year.
He's
Julian
great.
Reese, 4 years. This was such a fun team. And they had the biggest moment of the tournament with the Derek Queen buzzer beater in the round of 32. But for it to end in a thud, and for it to end where we're just talking about a selfish coach that is about to bolt,
here
is disappointing.
Here's the reality. For them to be Florida, because let's face facts, Florida's really good.
Yeah.
So
I told you
yeah,
I hated that part of the draw. Yeah. 2 weeks on the West Coast and facing that team.
You had to play your A game. They didn't come close to their A game. And we call this the Crab 5 all year, or they dubbed the Crab 5, because they had 5 really good starters. Their guards,
the Crab too.
Their guards stunk last night. I know Gillespie finished with 17. He had a run where he hit, I think, 3 threes in a row.
He wasn't good.
And ended up 3 for 7 from 3. I think those 3 threes were all around the same time. Rodney Rice was terrible last night. He couldn't consistently hit shots in the first half.
Selton Miguel was
the worst game he had all year. He was 0 for 2 from the line, did not make a shot in this game, 0 for 7 from the field, 0 points in his last college game. Julian Reese tried hard.
The
Gators had some advanced scouting. They knew he liked to go left, so they were giving him right. He wouldn't take right. He had 12 and 8, but they got dominated on the glass again. And quite frankly, you can't win 2-on-5 when the 5 you're playing are really damn good. And Florida started hitting threes, hitting wide open threes, and this game got away fast in the second
half. This guy's mannerisms and body language suck. There is no way that he went out there projecting like he really wanted to be here, like he really cared about this program. Like, there's just no way. And it didn't look to me like his assistants, and some of them might be going with him, they didn't look like the shots you saw on the bench, that they were necessarily feeling anything he had to say. The whole thing smelt bad. The whole thing looked bad. And it's unfortunate that this moment got undermined by one person's duplicity.
I can't disagree with that. It seemed pretty obvious. And by the way, the scene at the hotel, him getting booed as they walked, true, as they left the team hotel, the way he handled that post-game press conference, which I can't wait to hear some of that.
The Looney's College Park where he was getting booed.
Going on at Looney's College Park. Here's the funny thing, and we're hearing these rumblings about how the Maryland's trying to put the genie back in the bottle and trying to – he can't come back now. No. He is completely – He's atomic bombed this whole situation. He cannot come back, and he knows he can't come back either.
He's gone. That's all a moot point. This is done.
Yes, he's going to Villanova, and I hope he's a colossal failure there.
Yeah, me too. I will enjoy rooting against him. He will remain a character on the show. There will be AI Kevin Willard, and yeah, whenever he fails, we will revel in it. He could have. There's ways to do this.
Yes.
That don't make it as utterly personal and pathetic, sophomoric. There were so many, I'm not even saying take the high road. There's a middle road he could have taken that would have made this infinitely more palatable and digestible than what he did in trying to wrap him up in Testudo and wrap himself up in the Maryland State flag and act like, boy, I'm taking all these hits and people are going to rip me publicly, but I'm doing it for the good of the school, when he knew that no matter what they gave him, it's just all more leverage towards Villanova and I'm out of here. And then hiding behind his family and hiding behind his agent. Bro, get out of our state. Get out of our state. Don't come back.
The thing about the agent, he said the exact same thing 3 years ago when they lost, when he was at Seton Hall. Same exact quote for the most part, that I don't know, I got to talk to my agent, got to talk to my family. Same BS. Hey, we have a huge Friday show, and we will look back, not fondly, at the end of the Maryland season, their loss to Florida last night, the future for Maryland basketball. Buzz Williams, maybe. But guest-wise on the show. Gene Wong, he's been a frequent guest of the show during basketball season. We will wrap up the season. He covers the turf for the Washington Post. He was there. He joins at 2:30. Best bets with our friend Ariel Epstein, the prop queen, and our own Beltway Ben Hall at 3 o'clock. Big Ben McDonald, he was on the call yesterday on Masson as the Orioles were swinging the monster sticks, hitting, what, 6 home runs, beating the Blue Jays. Ben joins us at 4. And Greg Peterson, G-Unit. Beeson, ESPN, will get his best bets for the rest of the tourney coming up at 5.
He had an hour and 8 minutes on Major League Baseball today. He goes from 6-hour college podcast, breaking down everything on the slate, right to MLB.
Funny story, Ben and I are walking to the copier earlier today to get something, and we're walking through that room, and they got the TV on. I guess it was on Masson from yesterday. So Beeson's on, and look over. It's a Greg Peterson ad.
He's everywhere.
He is.
He's an animal. Look. What an opening day. We're going to get to all that.
Yes.
Adley, all the way back. A lot of Orioles talk through the course of this show. And I'm starting to pick up some Ravens draft tidbits as well. You don't want to miss that.
So coming up next, we have quite the Sophie's choice for you when it comes to Maryland basketball. Their last two head coaches, Mark Turgeon, Kevin Willard. Who's worse? We'll tell you. We got a poll, too, next here on The Fan.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done. So I haven't talked to anybody. I have an agent. I'm sure he's talking to people because that's what agents like to do. But I don't know.
He must have said, I'm going to be honest with you, or I try to be honest, after every answer about his future. And when people have to constantly tell you they're being honest, guess what? They're usually not being honest.
I counted at least 6 lies there and 1 truth. I have an agent.
Yes.
That part is true.
That is true.
He's definitely talked to his wife. He's definitely talking to the agent. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He's not being honest with anybody. He's a fraud.
By the way, before we get, I meant to mention this in the first segment, because right now the Maryland's about to be coachless and they're already AD-less. Sources told me last night that Gary Williams is willing to be interim AD. Ooh. While they like for 2 to 3 months, what however long it takes to find a new athletic director, but to help try to smooth this thing over, while because they need to find a coach quick. It might be Buzz Williams, which now everybody we told you that yesterday. Yes. Now everybody's talking about Buzz Williams, but Gary, I'm told, is willing to be the interim AD to help smooth this thing out.
I would hope the powers that be there are smart enough to take him up on that offer. His reputation in the coaching community, in the basketball community, in the collegiate athletics community is obviously sterling. Few people care about the actual goodwill of the program more than him or have his experience. Yeah, he would be the perfect conduit to get them into this next phase.
So we've talked a lot when we talked about Turgeon. I was at the last game and the fans booing him against Virginia when they lost Virginia Tech and then he quit. Well, Kevin Willard, there are videos out there of people booing him as he left the team hotel. There's worse than booing that was going on in College Park and some of the bars there. Kevin Willard asked if he took offense to the fans booing him.
Not at all. I got my guy. We would not be in the Sweet 16 if it wasn't for Harvey Sanders. Harvey Sanders runs our collective, does all the fundraising, has been instrumental in getting us back to where we are. And Harvey gave me the biggest hug, so he matters. I understand fans are going to be pissed because I'm in limbo and this and that. I get it. Like, I'm kind of pissed, to be honest with you, because I didn't expect to be in this situation.
You put yourself in this situation.
This, you know, the great thing implied there was F the fans. The money man likes me.
Yes.
And he'll say good things about me maybe when I officially go to Villanova. If anybody Villanova calls him, I think he's got my back.
Yes.
Screw everybody else.
And that Brian Ullman guy.
And like I said, and you think this fool was able to motivate these kids before the game? Mm. He can't even lie straight anymore.
So,
he was a good liar 2 weeks ago. He's not even a liar anymore.
So I will put a Sophie's Choice question to you. Who's worse? Kevin Willard, now that this is going to end after 3 years, or what, the 10 years of Mark Turgeon as Maryland head basketball coach, which will be remembered less fondly?
This is the worst ending for me.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think
the timing of it, the way he, like, at least you knew it was bad with Turge. Let's be real. Damon Evans, who, nice enough guy. We're all glad he's gone. We keep it real around here.
Yes.
Messed up and giving him the extension in the first place. The thing with Turge was going nowhere for a while. And did I hate the fact that he quit on those kids in November? Yes. I did. But that team was already going nowhere. And it was clearly broken between him and the athletic department. And so you punt on a lost season and those kids can start thinking about the portal. This was the best moment, series of moments in the program's history since Pete Gary Williams, and it was completely undermined by the pursuits of one individual who was doing everything for himself and nothing, in fact, for the program. And had he at least handled this with some degree of decorum, maybe it would have put the kids in a better mindset. It certainly would have put the fans in a better mindset. And had he just said, I'm not talking about my contract. I'm employed by Maryland. We're playing the biggest games we could ever play. Had he just said stuff like that instead of talking about expense reports and extra nights in New York City, this could have gone a little better, a lot better. We certainly wouldn't have had been talking about it and obsessing about it instead of these games.
Things with Turge underachieved here. And then it bottomed out and he quit. And that was terrible. And that was horrible in its own right. But with Kevin Willard, this felt like it could have been the start of a nice run. This felt like it could have been the renaissance of Maryland basketball, where the fan base really buying back in. Him at his introductory press conference, bringing the swagger back to Maryland basketball, and then to completely have this dark cloud over the entire postseason run.
He said, it's not about me. This isn't about my money.
About it. Yeah.
It's about making the program better moving forward.
That's why it's way
worse.
You
know what kills me? And bleep him for making me care again. Because what the Turgeon part of it, Turgeon, the thing got so apathetic, stopped caring.
Yes.
And nobody expected it to go anywhere. And you're like, as long as that guy's here, this program ain't even worth watching. I'm going to watch it because I root for Maryland basketball. But Kevin Willard made us care again.
Yep.
And then as soon as you got to peak caring, he's like, I'm going to pull the damn carpet out from under you because I'm a greedy SOB. And you know what? Screw him for that. And that's why, to me, it's not even close that he's the bigger villain. It's not close.
We pose this question to the people, IA1057 The Fan on Twitter. Maryland men's hoops will endure two ugly departures trying to replace the legend Gary Williams. Mark Turgeon quit on a team around Thanksgiving, and Kevin Willard made a public mockery of the school knowing he was going to Nova anyway. Who is a bigger scoundrel? Turncoat.
Good word.
Quitter. Yeah, scoundrel is a great word. Over 400 votes in. Willard is worse, 73%. Turgeon is worse, 27%.
Yeah,
Turgeon took his buyout, took his ball, and went home.
Yep.
And he hasn't coached since, and he really looked like he didn't want to be coaching anymore the last year or so at Maryland. This guy just completely used Maryland, tried to pretend he was something completely other than what he was.
Pretend,
and again,
this was a dream
had
job.
He just said, guys, next person asked me about my contract. This is over. You owe it to these kids. You owe it to what we've accomplished as a school to talk about that. I have a contract. I'm going to honor that contract. Like, there's a million different things he could have said to make this go away. He turned it into a national story and then tried to pretend that he didn't do it in the first place.
Hey, Ben, when we reset this a little later, do me a favor. I want the cut where he talks about, like, he's got an agent, he doesn't know what's going on, and then play it back-to-back with what he said after the Seton Hall loss, which is basically the same damn BS, just to hear what this guy shovels at you. But coming up next, we'll continue talking about Maryland basketball, the past and the future. What is next? Gene Wong was out in San Francisco covering the Terps for the Washington Post. He joins us next. Maryland's basketball season is over, at least the men. They lose to Florida, the one seed in the West, 87-71. Gene Wong was there covering it for the Washington Post, and he joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Gene, thank you as always for joining us throughout this season. We appreciate your time. So we are of the opinion that this team looked a little off last night, like, maybe you could read into it. They're a little distracted by the fact that their coach had nine toes out the door. What about you? You were there. Did they seem a little off to you?
They did, but I think Florida gets a lot of credit for that. Florida is so good. They can beat you in so many ways. They're so athletic. They're long. They can get you inside, outside. They're just a filthy offensive rebounding team. They score more points than anyone else in the country off offensive rebounds. That's really how they beat Maryland and their bench, too. Yeah, I mean, I think Maryland was just overmatched because this is what we thought going into a game like this, that they would have to play almost a perfect game and their Crab Five would have to have career games, basically. Derek Queen held up his end, but, you know, Selton Miguel was 0-7, and that really hurt them. So I give Florida most of the credit for making Maryland not look as good as they have been lately.
You and I have been at this a long time, and not much, I think, really surprises or shocks us anymore. And you develop a BS detector, and we know that this is big-time college athletics, which has been truly professional for a long time, and now they're not even hiding it anymore. But is there still a part of you that's dumbfounded that this went down the way it did? That Willard got this, right? Like, he created this snowball, got it rolling in a way he didn't have to, then tried to step out of the way and say, no, I'm not talking about it. Like, I just feel like this could have been handled infinitely better for all involved. And even if the end result was the same, it didn't have to be this messy.
Yeah, no, Jason, you are 100% right, I think, on that. I've been in this business for 30-plus years. I just can't recall a situation like this ever arising where the coach says the AD's leaving probably, so he's not going to sign, but he wants all this extra stuff coming to him. And then when the AD does leave, he still's not committing because he says, well, I don't know who my boss is going to be. And then he airs a list of grievances like right before the start of the NCAA tournament. And then there's more of this going into the biggest game in 10 years. And it becomes so much more about what's happening on the court. It's like what's going on away from the court. And there are a lot of distractions. And I will tell you, I have to give the players a lot of credit for making it this far with all the stuff swirling around the program. It's pretty amazing. The team that's only two players that have been in an NCAA tournament game before to go to the Sweet 16. But yes, the way it's been handled on so many levels, there's so many people that are culpable in this. And we asked Kevin at the news conference yesterday, do you wish you'd handled it differently? And he said, absolutely not. Now, maybe inside
he got what he wanted.
But, you know, he's not going to give that public perception of that for sure.
Gene, how quickly does this move? Is he announced the next coach of Villanova over the weekend? Where does Maryland go next with the head coaching vacancy? How quickly does this move?
Buyouts, April 1st. Does that play a role?
Buyouts, yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's probably not a great move if they wait a few days. I mean, they need to put feelers out there to see who might be interested in the job. Now, I don't know this based on people I've talked to for the search firm that's been retained. The people I've talked to within the program say that it's not happened yet. Now, this was as of late last night. It could have happened after they got on the plane. They're on a plane back to D.C. or, excuse me, College Park right now with no Wi-Fi, I'm told, conveniently. So there's no way of getting in touch with anyone that's close to the program that's on that charter flight. But you have to assume that at least they made some overtures. Now, the names we've heard, and I'm sure you've heard them too, Dwayne Simpkins, a former Terp at AU, Tony Skin at George Mason, Buzz Williams' name has even been, you know, mentioned. Mm-hmm. A name I've not heard, but I think would be a great fit in Maryland, Mike Bray, an assistant at for the Hawks. He's been around the college game forever. And when he left Notre Dame, he didn't say he was retiring. He said, I'm taking a break and stepping away. He's a DeMatha guy, coached under Morgan Wooten, has that DMV connection with the WCAC, which Maryland really wants. They want to keep Maryland players, homegrown guys there. So I'm not saying that they've even reached out to Mike Bray. I'm just saying it seemed like to me that they should if they were thinking about having a guy that to me is like a perfect fit for that program.
Talking to Gene Wong, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. So, Gene, obviously Derek's gone. Juju's a senior. He's gone. Selton's gone. Yeah. In your mind, are Rodney Rice and Jacoby Gillespie gone as well?
Well, it's going to be a massive rebuild, obviously. There's so much uncertainty surrounding this program, which is where I wrote. Not just the basketball program, but the athletic department in general. They need a new AD. They're probably going to need a new basketball coach. Like you said, you mentioned all those players gone. Although Derek Queen did say yesterday when I asked him, he's not sure, but like you can basically say he's going to leave for the NBA, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jacoby Gillespie, maybe look at Tennessee from what I've heard. That's, you know, he's from Greenville, Tennessee. We know what kind of program Rick Barnes runs. He'd be going home. Rodney Rice is from Clinton, Maryland. You know, he went to the Matha. So, and he wanted to come back and come home and play for Maryland. I mean, I'm sure he's going to keep his options open, but I don't think right now he's saying, yeah, I'm definitely gone. So, but regardless of what happens, the roster is going to be completely overhauled as it stands from this season.
How screwy is this not to have an AD in place at the same time and the school president is tweeting about Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, that was good.
Not what's going on here. And our very own Ken Wyman, and if you choose to amplify his reporting, you could also refer to him as the Ginger Gorilla.
Yes.
He's reporting that Gary Williams is open to being an interim AD. So I'm throwing all that at you, Gene. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, look, I saw Gary Williams at John Feinstein's memorial service the other day, and that topic did not come up, although a lot of other topics did come up, to be honest, off the record.
Sure.
So, but, you know, it is so chaotic in the athletic department. Like, you talk to one person who says one thing, you talk to another person who says another thing, and they all have connections, or they're connected, at least in theory, to Colleen, who's now the interim athletic director. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard a dozen different theories of what might happen. I don't know if the priority is to get the athletic director in place and then maybe see what happens with the basketball coach, or do they want to go after a basketball coach first and then do the athletic director later? Like, it's such a jumble right now. There may be some more clarity after the team lands, and like maybe tomorrow or the next day. But I mean, right now I'm just almost as much as in the dark as anyone. And I'm around this team a lot, and I've talked to the players. They're not even sure what's going on. So that's a big reason why Jacoby and Rodney are waiting to make a decision to see if they're going to stay or not, because they don't know what's going on.
Are we sure that Willard's on that plane? I mean, maybe at this point we shouldn't even care, but like, are we sure he even flew back with him?
Yes. I'm told that he boarded the bus. Now, whether he got on the plane, I'm assuming that he got on the charter when he got to the airport, but he boarded the bus with the team. And we saw what happened when they were leaving for the game yesterday. There were some boos from the crowds and some from the boosters. And Kevin was asked about that. It's like, you know, what matters to me is what my boss is saying. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a standard coach speak. You know, sure, of course he heard it, and he knows. Like, and that's the thing when you connect the dots. and say, you know, why would you come back from the situation? You've already made it pretty bad. The fans don't want you back. The boosters don't want you back. There's uncertainty in the athletic department. You have a standing offer basically from Villanova where you're going to be the number one show because the football program is FCS. Yep. You're not competing with a football program for NIL dollars. And you're going back to the Big East, a conference from which you're very familiar. Yeah. Certainly, but again, Jason, you said this earlier. We've both been around this business for a long time, and nothing should surprise you. So if on Sunday he says, guess what? I'm staying in College Park. Well, you know what? I'm going to say, you know, just another thing that you add to the list of unexpected events covering sports for 30 years.
Well, let's say that doesn't happen. The most frustrating thing for me is this program was building so much momentum at the end of the year where you had the back-to-back sellouts. The fan base was bought all the way back in. You made it to the second weekend for the first time in 9 years, and now you have all the uncertainty of the roster building, the head coach, and the AD, and we're almost a full week into the portal being open. Is this program destined for a rebuild season next year?
Well, I just think that's the way it is in college athletics or major college athletics, wherever you are. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about just in College Park, but almost everywhere. Like, there may be a few programs that are insulated, like Ohio State, you know, or maybe Michigan, but because they have so many dollars, and Texas, whatever. There may be, but in general, even at the power conference schools, like, this is the way life is. I mean, it's a Wild West. There are no rules. And Kevin said that, and I agree with him on this point. It's like, there's no rules. Like, Benson Blake got everything wrong, and everyone's just fending for themselves. And so in this case, Kevin Willard is too. I don't blame him for that. It could have been handled better, yes. But that's just what we have to come to understand. It's going to happen almost every year at program, because you're not building for 4 years anymore with a freshman who's going to be a senior and have that, you know. That's why Tony Bennett left Virginia. That's how he used to build programs. That's not happening anymore. It's a year-to-year deal. And so coaches are going to be jumping around just like players are, and just we have to accept that.
Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post. Gene, always great.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. I'm sure we'll be talking soon because this story continues.
Buzz.
We'll talk soon, okay? Take care.
Thanks so much. Hey, coming up next here on the program, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
A lot of controversy surrounding the Maryland men's basketball program. There's nothing controversial about a beatdown in Toronto that the Orioles delivered to the Blue Jays 12-2.
Nothing controversial about BBT.
Controversial about BBT.
Next.
The pitching. We've talked ad nauseum about our concerns with that, but the lineup, there's plenty of upside there. Could they be even better than last year? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
The ball was flying at the Rogers Center yesterday
for the Orioles.
Against the Blue Jays. Yeah, for the O's. Yeah. They had six homers.
I mean, Jimenez, but I mean, that was it for them.
Yeah, that was. But there's six homers on opening day. They blew by the franchise record for homers on opening day, four back in 1982, 2006. And also doing a lot of this damage against Jose Barrios, who was historically...
Pretty sure Eddie Murray hit a grand slam in that game in 82, and I'm pretty sure it was against the Kansas City Royals.
Mm. Were you there?
And I'm pretty sure I was there.
Wow.
Yeah. Sitting right behind home plate in the Potts and Callahan seats.
Oh.
Those are some serious box tickets.
Potts and Callahan?
Big time construction company.
Oh. Are they still going?
I think so. I don't know if they're under the same name.
Potts, but not Callahan.
Oh, damn.
Callahan went into auto parts.
And
it's like that Merthyr Pissoras. And then they just became whatever.
Yes.
And Barrios is historically owned the
Orioles.
Pretty
sure he hit a salami.
10-1, 2.95 ERA in 16 starts against the Birds. But he gave up six earned runs yesterday.
Yeah, he did, Bone.
This offense, it had its warts for sure. We know that they were middle of the pack in walks last year, 16th. They didn't run a lot, 18th. And they struggled with runners in scoring position. But they were still second in home runs, fourth in OPS. And while the pitching, especially the starting side, given the age of a lot of those guys, maybe not a ton of upside, I think there is a ton of upside with this lineup, given how young they are.
Jackson Holliday, how's he going to take a step in his first full season in the bigs? Colton Cowser following up last year where he was second in Rookie of the Year. He can be more consistent. Jordan Westberg, he was an all-star last year but still missed a big chunk of the year, especially down the stretch, and he was their most clutch hitter in 2024. Adley Rutschman, we know he fell off a cliff in the second half. Gunner's going to be Gunner when he gets back up here. You lose Santander in the 40-plus home runs there, and it's going to take a village to replace that. But for the Orioles to get to where they want to go, this offense is going to have to mash, and they're going to have to put up runs because the pitching's still a huge question mark. But I think they got the horses to do so.
Well, especially if a couple guys bat. Like if Adley Rutschman is Adley Rutschman instead of the facsimile that we saw the second half of last year, that's a huge boost to the
offense.
We're
going to get to Adley next hour.
Yeah.
He looks awfully
different. Different dude.
And if he can figure out when to chase the power in the launch angle and when to just go the other way, which we literally saw that embodied in an at bat yesterday, then that's going to bode incredibly well for them. Look, that was a dream start. I don't know how you could concoct an opening day better than that, except for the fact it started a half hour late and it was played in a dome in Toronto.
Yeah, that was weird.
Bob had the tip.
But
Bob knows people in Toronto.
I mean, Eflin, masterful. Adley, masterful. O'Neill keeps a ridiculous streak going and gets on base four times. Said two home runs. Jackson Holliday works some at-bats.
Yeah,
Westy, home run. I mean,
multi-hit game.
Really, everything looked pretty good except for Dominguez.
Yeah, that was
an eye on that one.
Yeah,
that was
not pretty.
Eflin, incredibly efficient. You got to like everything about that. I was right, 13-5 Orioles. Cal home run, Eddie grand slam, four home runs on the day. Renicky and Disco Dan Ford also homered.
1982, Dan Ford?
I was there. Got a ball signed by... Bart Giamatti, I believe, was the American League
president.
Yes.
Ah.
Because when you were in the Potts and Callahan seat, you're right there.
Yeah.
So you're right behind
home
plate.
Connection with that?
Travis Holub. Buddy of mine from class. He knew I was a big baseball fan. Like, it's like, you want to go opening day?
I'm like, like family worked for what, Potts and Pans or
his
whatever?
Potts and Callahan. I think his grandfather founded it.
No.
Bro, they were big time.
Yeah. Oh.
Big time.
Still keep up with that guy?
No. Yeah. Haven't talked to him in 40 years, maybe.
Since 1982.
Since he broke up.
No, but since probably 1985.
He hadn't spoken to him since he broke up Atella.
That's Atella.
That ruined it for him. That's an inside reference. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, same difference.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Oh, yesterday was awesome.
Yeah. It was, and they're great on opening day. What are they, 20-8 in their last 28 opening days, something like that?
But last year's opening day was awesome. Burns was great.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get to watch Mike Trout hit a home run on opening day and still have a blowout win despite it, that's a pretty good day.
Well, the past couple years, remember what Adley went 5-for-5 the year before, and that was when we had John Angelos on in the middle of the game.
Yeah, from Boston.
In the middle of the game.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Boston. Yeah.
Those were good times.
Interesting times, yes.
Ah, man. Well, coming up next, it's a Friday, which means it's time for Best Bets with our friend, the Prop Queen, Ariel Epstein, and our own Beltway Ben Hall, next here on The Fan.